I'm Dr. Don McDonald. Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse, the podcast. I believe one of the most valuable things you can give yourself as a chiropractor is taking time. Time to become more inspired, present, and focused. Weekly, I'll be bringing you stories of triumph, mindset shifts, and lessons from people who are breaking through their limitations. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Now, let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. I'm Dr. Don McDonald, your host, and today I have a special guest that I met at a seminar called Experts Academy down in California a few weeks ago. Her name is Lorna Earnshaw, and she is a voice coach, a songwriter, online marketer. She's a journalist. She's a dancer. She teaches acting. She does everything. Lorna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we had some good conversation there. And the reason that I wanted you on the podcast is this is going out to chiropractors. And as chiropractors, we want to increase our skills at helping to influence our practice members to become more healthy, make better life decisions for themselves so they can live a healthier, happier life. And we had a really interesting conversation talking about how can your voice affect your ability to communicate and to inspire people. So first, I think I want to go back and maybe we'll just talk a little bit about your history. So how did you get to this point? Because I know you mostly were in kind of entertainment, and now you're moving into the business world, helping business people be better communicators. So how did that start?
Well, I started as a musician. Since I was very young, I used to sing, and I studied classical guitar. I was at the conservatory, and they kicked me out because I sucked, because my voice was so bad. Then, at that point, now I can talk about it. It's fine, but it was very depressing and very frustrating for me. But I found out that I had a vocal disease, a vocal disorder.
Oh, really?
It's called vocal paralysis. It happens when you're not using your voice correctly. And that was the reason why I wasn't able to hit the high notes, because I was in the sopranos. So I couldn't hit the notes, and I didn't know why. So after that, I started doing a treatment with a speech therapist. I was around 18 years old or so, 19. And then I started to understand how my voice worked. Then I started having singing lessons. I became a professional singer, songwriter. I started performing a lot. And at the same time, I got a degree in journalism. So I was trained to be on camera, creation of content. And on the other hand, I also used to be a dance instructor. It was kind of like a side job, yeah. But it helped me a lot to understand how your stage performance works, how it is important for you to have that power on stage and that presence. And I was teaching kids, I was teaching adults. I graduated in journalism, and then I started working as a singer and songwriter for many years and as a voice coach. And I've been a voice coach for 15 years, focusing mostly in the vocal technique and the health of vocal technique. I had a program that has been very successful that teaches people how to sing better using their voices and understanding how to use their voices. And the thing is that while working on this new program and getting to know more about marketing, I even released a program about how to create your image online. I understood and I started to realize that my results were so much better than other people's results. Like my ads and my conversion rate is crazy. So for the people who don't know what a conversion rate is, the result that you get when you're trying to influence someone to take an action, a desired action. So let's say if you're trying to get people to sign up for your newsletter and you have that, you say, okay, guys, come and sign up. Maybe you invited 100 people, and the usual rate is like 18, 15% people who say yes, and my rates have always been like 60%, 70%. Like the worst, I get depressed when I get 50%. So then I get depressed. I'm like, what's going on? And I thought that was normal. But then I met the creator of Kajabi. You know Kajabi, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So Kajabi, it's a platform to creation of online courses. And it used to have Megaphone 4 years ago, which was a platform to do the lead pages where you can captured your prospect's information. And then I asked the guy, I was like, okay, so I was wondering, what is a good conversion rate? Because I'm having only 50%, 60%. It was like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why? And then when I was featured on Kajabi, and then my campaigns are that, like, I have a lot of followers and they work so well, and I pay such a small amount of money for my ads. And I started comparing my results to other people, and I was like, well, I guess I'm doing something differently here. Mm-hmm. And so I have an ad that has 1.3 million views.
Wow.
And I spent $500 in 4 months to run campaign. And the conversion rate is 50%. And then I started to realize that there was something that I was doing different from other people. And then I started coaching people to shoot their videos. And then I realized that actually what I was doing is I was putting all these things that I've learned as a singer, as a performer, being on stage, working on my voice. I noticed that my voice completely changes when I'm on camera, when I'm talking to you, when I'm doing a video. And I was like, I think I'm doing something different here. And then I started creating all this work to help people to understand how to use their voices in order to be more persuasive without feeling fake.
Right.
Because what I don't like is that many times when you find these kind of programs, like, okay, how to be on camera, how to make a sale, it's all fake. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. It seems kind of cheese ball, right?
It's like when you go to the car dealers and you know that the person
creepy
has
car salesman. Yeah.
Oh man. And they have the script and you can see it, you can feel it. And when people feel that, they're not stupid, you know,
right.
Especially the people that we're trying to attract, our clients. And so I started to realize all these things that I was doing differently. And this is not because I am a genius or whatever. It's because I'm putting together all these things that I've learned, plus my need to survive, let's put it that way,
right.
You know,
yeah.
to
yeah.
make things happen for me business-wise.
Right. Yeah. So you've been able to take a bunch of different skills and blend them all together, because I think, you know, nowadays, because there's so much video out there and people are watching videos so much that they can really tell when people aren't authentic and they can tell it's kind of fake. And I think, well, as chiropractors definitely should be using videos to promote their practice. And I think a lot of times they don't do it because they're worried that they look fake, or they worried that someone's going to criticize them. So they kind of get nervous about that. So I think we're going to have some good content today that chiropractors can take some tips and add to their repertoire.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So let's start off with, why does your voice make such a difference? Like, they talked about it a bit at the seminar, but it was pretty interesting on what happens with your voice that can decrease your effectiveness in influencing or communicating.
Well, your voice is your main communication tool. So when you're talking in a couple of seconds, people are going to have an idea about your personality and about, maybe they will make a judgment of how capable you are to help them. When it comes to, for example, a chiropractor, as a patient, if I am in pain and I'm going to put myself in the hands of a professional, I need to feel that they have the authority and the knowledge to be capable of helping me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you see a chiropractor that has a voice or an attitude that is not that authoritative, you might be thinking, oh man, does he know what he's doing? You're not going to feel that confidence, and you're
right.
not going to sign up for his services. So in the case, let's say, if you're doing a video, what usually happens is that there are a lot of great professionals out there in many different areas, let's say chiropractors or coaches. And when you're on camera and you're thinking about how fake or I'm not looking good, actually you're sending out the information and the message that you're not that capable, but actually your doubt is not about your capacity as a professional. It's about being on camera.
Right.
So that's the problem. You know,
so you're losing confidence, but it's not confidence in the right thing. You're just not confident about being on camera, not being a professional or a chiropractor. Yeah.
Exactly. So people might have thinking, well, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. I will not go and sign up for his thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what would you say would be kind of the most common issues, or how would someone even know if they have an issue with their voice? And I know you said before, it's more than just the voice. We'll talk about that later, but how would you initially know if you might have a challenge with your voice or that it could be improved?
Actually, there are two things that I would be considering. One is the health part of your voice, which has to do with the fact that you might be getting hoarse after talking. You might feel that your voice is too low, or you might, for example, get very tired after working for a day and losing your voice. This would be a matter of not having the right vocal technique. And this might end up bringing a vocal disorder like the one that I had, that then could bring it to calyces, polyps. That's part of like the health part of it.
Right.
But there is also the part that I told you about, is the part that is the message that you are sending out there. So probably if when you are talking to a client, you're not feeling confident, or if you don't like the sound of your voice, or if you record your voice in the voicemail and you're like, oh my goodness, it's so ridiculous, you know,
yeah,
they're probably going to have to do something about it. There are certain people that I've been working with and they tell me, yeah, I think my voice is great. I just want to improve. And they have all the things that they have to improve, like the words that they use or their attitude. And even if I am a vocal coach, my expertise number one is how to use your voice in a more effective way when it comes to vocal health. I consider very strongly your attitude. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about this. When I used to be a dance performer years ago, it was belly dancing, which in South America is big.
Right. Huge.
Here in North America, it's not, people don't do it much, but in South America it's great and it's big and it's very serious. So it's part of a group. And then this was this girl, and everybody was like, everybody liked this girl so much. But she didn't dance much. She didn't do all the techniques that we were so good at. But
right.
We would say she's doing all these faces and their mouth, you know, like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was making people believe that she was doing great, and she wasn't. She wasn't doing much. You know? So that's a huge part of it.
Right. That's, it's like your confidence. Would you think that was your confidence, or just do you think that she was just very expressive?
I don't think it's only about the confidence. It's also about the how much have you trained your capacity to communicate in a certain way. There are certain people who are raised in a culture in which they don't have all this expressiveness that I have. My family is British, but I was born and raised in South America, in Argentina and then Brazil. So I use my hands a lot. I don't have any problem just talking about the way I think. But if you're talking to someone from maybe Korea, or, I mean, I've been in school at the university, my Korean classmates, they wouldn't talk in class. I would be the only person talking in class.
Right.
And it's not because they don't have the confidence. I think it's because of the way they were raised. And also your voice, when you have a very low voice, it has to do with the people in your family, how you learned how to talk. So I don't think it necessarily has to do with your confidence. I think that there are people that are brilliant and they're very confident, but they haven't practiced this ability to communicate. And that's the thing. When you have to be on camera, this is something that you have to do.
Right.
And I found that, for example, I've been working with marketers, copywriters. Mm-hmm. They're great copywriters from all around the world. I've been coaching them on video, Skypes, and in private coaching lessons. And the thing is that they're speaking the right words. They sound, the words are smart and the words are convincing. But the way they're saying the words, it's like if they were reading, like a computer that is reading the words, but they're not putting the performance, they're not putting the emotion, even if they have it.
Right.
Just because they haven't practiced that. It's like when I'm a singer, I have to learn how to perform over any lyric. I will sing any lyric and I will put my performance in it.
Right.
Maybe a person that is not a singer is not capable of performing the same lyrics, which are the same words. And maybe the words, they show confidence. Maybe they're the great copywriting. Maybe you're doing the right thing to your patient. You're doing the exact thing that you know that is the right thing, but maybe because of the way that you're communicating that, they are not feeling the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What are some tips that we might be able to take from that to increase our performance?
I think the first thing that I always tell people to do is to record themselves.
Right.
Okay, that's the number one thing. So, because the thing is that the sound that we hear in our heads is not the sound that comes out there. It right. is not.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just a matter of accepting our voices, you know, because sometimes people prevent themselves from doing a podcast like you're doing because they think their voice is not nice, but maybe it's just because they're not used to the sound of their voices. Mm-hmm. And so I usually, what I do is I say, okay, let's do a recording. This is part of my program. Let's do a recording. Listen to yourself. I want you to say the things that you liked about your voice, the things that you didn't like, and then ask someone else to just do the same thing.
Great.
And then you're going to start picking up things. And maybe also when you're looking at yourself on video, because your posture, your nonverbal communication is telling a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you another example. My cousin is a very famous music producer in Argentina, Grammy Award winner. And the thing is that people come to him, like he's very famous. He works with a lot of famous people. But I think the main reason why he gets a lot of gigs, and this is something I've been talking with other musicians who know him, is that he has this authority. When you're talking to him, he's like always looking at you like if he was, you know, Al Pacino, you know, the Godfather?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know?
Yeah.
He's like the silence. He just says whatever is necessary. He's not afraid of being quiet. He's going to tell you, do this or do that. And you feel that authority. And people that are looking for a producer, they want guidance because they don't know what they're doing. It's like the people who are looking for a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would be almost, I've seen that before. And it's funny, doing my podcast, and when I listen back to it, I'm already seeing things in my voice, which are fillers. So a lot of times, if they're not comfortable with the silence, they'll be doing the ums or the ahs or the adding different
exactly.
words, right?
Exactly. So I am not really very radical about fillers.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's not something that, oh, you have to use a teleprompter because otherwise you're going to use fillers. I think that if you use them too much,
yeah,
they're for sure, they're going to make your message weaker. So these are and that's the thing. We use that because we feel that if we don't fill up that space, we're going to lose the person that is listening to us.
Right.
So what I usually do is I work on the power of the silence. This is something that we work on as musicians a lot. There is a lot of power in silence, as much power as there is in sound.
Mm-hmm.
So a tip would be, don't worry if you have to wait until you find the right word. Because also when I just do a little pause because I'm thinking of a word, instead of doing the I am creating this suspense and I'm making the person that is listening to me be like, what is going to come next?
Exactly. You know? What are they about to say?
and then when you isolate that word gains weight.
Right.
This is something that we use in music. This is why I'm telling you that I'm using all my expertise as a musician. And this is what we do in songwriting as well. This is an effect in music production. Mm-hmm. So you use the fillers. What you don't use are notes that are useless. What you don't use are words that don't have the weight
right.
to convey your message. If I'm like talking nonstop, I'm going to lose you because you're going to feel that I am trying to prove myself and you're going to zoom out. But if I keep engaged with rhythm, with pauses, if I let you absorb what I just said, every word is going to be more important. So when some people say, yeah, the words that you are talking are not as important as your nonverbal communication, they are only 7%. What I teach in my program is, I don't want your word to be only 7%. I want your words being 50% because that's your message.
Right.
So I want to help you to find the right word and to enhance the power of your word, because then your message is going to be a lot more powerful.
And is that how you would recommend doing it as well, where you record your voice? Because I think part of that's an awareness that you're using fillers or that you're not using as good quality words as you could. So how do you recommend people start using better quality words?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would recommend is to do the recording, but I have to make a disclosure here. We all have a tendency to be super critical, and yeah. I don't want you guys to listen to your voice and say like, oh, this sucks, I will never talk again. No. You know? Yeah. So what I do in my program is I always, before criticizing yourself, find two or three things that you liked. Okay. Right. That's as a disclosure, because I've been there, trust me, 15 years teaching vocals, and this can be very frustrating. I don't want anybody traumatized by this exercise. But yes, so then you can start paying attention to the fillers you're using. And then the exercise that I recommend to work on those fillers is not trying to not to use the fillers, is start by using pauses. Every time you don't know what word to use, stop. Stop. Right. Because it's so much easier.
Yeah.
And it gives you rhythm and it gives you time to think about the word, and it's going to make you look more smarter. And also you're making them uncomfortable when you're silent. You have to be in control of the silence, not them.
Right.
You are in control of the conversation.
And that would be huge for influence, because I know in the chiropractic office, we'll have a first visit where we do our exam and kind of figure out what's going on. And then we have what's called a report of findings. And I also coach other chiropractors too. And I know, and I was like this huge, I was so afraid of the silence. But you're right. If you keep silence in there, it's like you keep the authority in the conversation.
Exactly. But you have to be the one who's in power. It's like when I used to do interviews as a journalist, you're in power of the rhythm. It's like a dance, you know, like the man has to lead the woman.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You have to be in power of that rhythm. And that is the reason why I never, ever use teleprompters. I hate teleprompters. I bought one. It's in my closet. All like, I think it's not good anymore, because I tried to use it and I felt that it really made my message weak, because we need time to think about the words. We need time. We need rhythm. We need to have pauses. So take control of that pause. You are in control of it.
Right. And I think if it's not perfect, people appreciate that, I think, because I think they think that's more real, because nobody is perfect when they speak.
Exactly. That is a reason why I am not so worried about the fillers as people are usually worried. I said too much fillers. For me, that is not really the thing. But I found that the best way to use as few fillers as possible is to do this exercise. So what I would recommend is, for example, think about the words in like where's what's going to be the idea and the phrases that you want to say, and take your time. Mm-hmm. Take your time. So start saying the words. If you don't know what to say, stop.
Take a pause.
Stop. You see that I am, and this thing, it gives rhythm to the conversation.
Right.
And it makes the conversation more interesting. So as I said before, as a chiropractor, you cannot just say to a patient, I don't know, maybe you have this thing, maybe you have a hernia. People are going to be like.
Yeah, I know. They're like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, so that would be a good exercise.
Yeah.
Just as a recap, record your voice, maybe in your phone.
Yeah.
Listen to what you're saying. Try to figure out if you're putting the ideas together in a way that is a phrase that is showing one idea. Finish that idea. Then you go to the next idea. If you need time, take your time. With practice, this is going to be faster.
Mm-hmm. I know one of my challenges is sometimes I'll be halfway through a sentence and then I get another idea. And then I start another sentence.
Exactly.
So what do you do in that case? You just kind of mentally pause it and then start a different idea?
You have to train your brain.
Yeah.
In a way that when you're speaking slowly and you're doing this, taking your time, and you think, okay, I need to deliver this idea, and then the next idea is going to be that one. You might forget about it, but that's part of life, you know?
Yeah. It's better than being all over the place.
Yeah. I think that if you're trying to say too many things at the same time, it's going to make your message super messy. And the power of your message is not going to be about the amount of ideas or the amount of words that you're using, but it has to do with the efficiency of the words and your performance.
That's excellent.
You know, it's like, for example, there are great songs, the best songs, because I'm a songwriter, okay?
Yeah.
So the best songs, they have a chorus that is one phrase.
Right.
Those are the songs that everybody remembers, the Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. That's it. It's a phrase. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking. So it has a performance. It's a phrase. It's consistent. And you're going to remember the words. Now, if you take a song that it has a lot of words, a lot of ideas, a lot of things coming around, it's very hard for people to follow that.
Right. And so, it's harder to sing along too.
Exactly. People are not going to remember that.
Right.
So it's so much better if you can just explain one word, one phrase, choosing the right words that are going to make it more effective. And maybe what I usually do is I express the idea. This is as a teacher. I express the idea and then I give an example. Another idea, another example. Another idea, another example. So when you start talking like that, this is also has to do with the way that you present the information when you write an article.
Right.
Like your first paragraph is like, okay, so for example, I think, let's say a chiropractor, I think that we have to do this and this and this and that. And the person's like, oh my goodness. And then you give an example, a case study.
Right. That's great. That's a great advice. Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is, sometimes you just have to train yourself. And the good thing is that when you're, for example, in an office in which you have a lot of people coming all the time, you can practice that.
Right.
Because there's going to be a time in which it's going to be automatic, and this is going to create more conversion. And this is going to really make people connect with what you're saying. But as I said before, I'm not teaching mental triggers, the triggers that, you know, this psychology, this is not my thing. My thing is performing from whatever you have inside of you, which is your knowledge and your capacity to help others, and creating this cable. I always say, you know, it's like you have a speaker and you have your laptop and you need a cable.
Right.
To make the sound go louder. You cannot give a party with your laptop at your home. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to dance, right?
Right.
So you need to amplify it. You need to amplify it. And right. So this is what we're doing, is just finding a way to amplify it. And these techniques that I'm working on have the idea of connecting in that sense. For example, I've been teaching people from countries like Denmark, Germany. They're not used to use their hands. For them, it's so hard. And they know exactly what they mean. It's not their confidence.
Right. That's interesting. And so just taking another aspect is your performance. A lot of chiropractors will do speaking, right? So that they either do health talks in their office, or they'll go out and do corporate talks. What kind of advice could you have for a chiropractor who, say, gets a really bad stage fright? How would you coach someone through that?
Well, I think that the stage fright is nothing more than the lack of practice and the insecurity. I've been there when I was studying guitar at the conservatory, and I couldn't play in public because I felt that I would forget the notes when I was a teenager. So it has to do with your insecurity. Okay. Mm-hmm. In that case, what you have to do is really, you have to practice and you have to go through all this training that is going to help you to be confident, because the main problem is the self-talk. Mm-hmm. When you're on stage, and instead of you thinking about the thing that you're explaining and being engaged with that content, in your head is like, oh, I suck. I don't know what to say. Nobody's liking this. Da, 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 da. So you're in another planet, right?
Yeah.
So that is stage fright. Mm-hmm. You're not connecting with what you're doing. So the way to do that is to get over it and to practice. But the thing about practicing is that you need to have guidelines. it's not only go there and repeat it and repeat it, and you are going to keep on just banging your head against the wall, just consistent, maybe doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. So this is why with my program, what I teach people is to be more confident, but not because I'm just saying you're the best and I'm like, let's be positive. It's because you actually know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, and then you worked over your voice. You've listened to your voice 1,000 times. You've worked on how you're putting together the sentences. You end up, you'd like the sound of your voice, because if you feel that your voice, it's like a, you know, like a kid. There are a lot of people who feel like, oh my, I have a horrible voice. I sound like a kid.
Right.
You're not going to feel comfortable because you know that people are going to be recording you, and they're going to watch your recording, and then they will think, she sounds like a kid. So what's the point? I need first to fix this thing.
Right.
Because when we are, this is the thing, is like, you know, when you're maybe in your best, a woman is like, they do their hair, they have the best dress or whatever, they're about to go to a party. All of them take selfies and put it on
Facebook. They're like, media, oh yeah,
totally. Right? When you look good, you want to put yourself out there.
Right.
But you have to look good. Nobody wants to go and put themselves out there if they're they're embarrassing themselves, especially if they're professionals. If you have a professional practice, you don't want to embarrass yourself.
And that's all preparation, because even if you're going out with your girlfriends, you still have to take time to prepare, to get ready, right?
Yes. Yes, totally. And I think this is something that we can work on. It's not, I have stage fright. It's like everything else. It has a way to be solved.
Mm-hmm. And can you just, we're going to be running close to the end of time here pretty soon, but talk a little bit about breathing, because I know breathing is kind of important for to having that good voice. So I wonder if you could just touch a little bit on breathing.
Yes. So breathing is the foundation of the vocal technique. And there are many issues that happen when we don't use the proper breathing. This could be lack of projection. This could be not having power in your voice. This could be getting hoarse after talking, or getting super tired. So
like
all
straining,
these things,
straining all the time.
Straining, exactly. Yeah. All these are signs that we're not using our voice properly. 99% of the people, 95% of the people nowadays use their chest breathing, which is when you're lifting up your chest and lifting up your shoulders.
Yeah.
And this happens because you are not breathing in enough air. You need to breathe in to fill up, not completely, because then your lungs would explode, but it's like pretty much completely, you know, your lungs, so that you're going to have enough air and you're going to be able to use your breathing support. So what is your breathing support? Your breathing support is, it's a support that you're creating to help your diaphragm sustain a phrase all the way through. When we speak, the kind of airflow that we need is different from the kind of airflow that we need when we're sleeping. Because if you breathe in and you breathe out, the air dies at the end, right?
Right.
But when you're speaking, I need to speak like this. Otherwise, I'm going to be, hey, Dad, I have to do something very smart.
Right. Yeah. You don't have the deflection at the end.
Exactly.
Right?
You don't want to fade out.
Right.
So the thing is that we need this breathing support happening every time that we speak, so that our voice has the proper airflow in order to make the vocal folds resonate and vibrate. The air goes through the vocal folds and they vibrate. So if you don't have the proper airflow, you're going to have all these vocal diseases, all these vocal problems. So the first step would be working on your abdominal breathing and stop using your chest abdominal breathing. So for whatever is listening to this, you guys can just check it out. Just breathe in. You can do it, Dan, if you want
to. I'm doing it.
breathe in. And then you have to pay attention if you're lifting up your chest or your shoulders or not.
You want to stick your stomach out.
Yeah, it's not stick out. It's more relaxed, because you don't want to force it, because tension is the opposite of vocal technique. You just have to make sure that the air goes down all the way through, as if it was filling up your gut.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
But in a state of ease, in a state of ease.
Exactly. Everything has to be super easy. And that's the point. It has, I think that it's pretty much the same thing with the kind of health that you guys work on.
Yeah, the body should be at ease. Yeah, or else it's in disease.
Exactly. Yeah. So vocal technique is all about being comfortable. So when you start using your body the right way, your voice is going to make miracles. It's like magic. But first you have to teach every part of your body how to do it, and you have to condition those muscles. Because otherwise, it's like when you're lifting weights, and you as a chiropractor, you understand that if you're lifting weights in the wrong way and you're using the wrong muscles, you're going to end up hurting your back, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with your vocals. You need to know how to use it. Otherwise, you're going to create a disease.
That's awesome. So if someone wanted to contact you, I know you have a little free course that you have on your website. Can you give your contact information for those who might want to brush up on their communication?
Okay. So my website is Lorna Vocals. Lorna is my name, L-O-R-N-A, vocals.com. And then you're going to find this free program, which is 10 speakers mistakes that are holding you back. This is a free guide that everybody can sign up for. And then you guys are going to receive more vocal exercises, tips, and this is completely free. It's in my website if you go there, but I think that you're going to include the in the notes the link, right?
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So
100%. Well, that's good. So I always do this for all my speakers that come in on the podcast, and I give them the last couple minutes just to kind of give some wording parts of inspiration for those people out there that might feel like an underdog, or maybe they feel like their voice has never been good, or they've never been a very good speaker, and wondering if you just kind of give them some pearls of wisdom and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to share with you that everything that has to do with speaking is something that you can work on as your vocal technique and your voice. Many people are holding themselves back because they are afraid of what people might think about them. They're trying to be perfect. They're not marketing themselves correctly, properly, and taking advantage of this amazing opportunity that we have online and with the internet and everything. So I think that in order for any professional to grow their business, it's very important that we all improve our communication. And this is something that you can do in order to free your voice. So what I usually say is free your voice because the world needs to hear. Maybe you're a great chiropractor and you can help a lot of people, and you're not doing it enough just because you need to work on these simple things that can be fixed. The most important thing is whatever you have to offer to the world. But the voice is something that you can for sure work on, and your communication skills as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
It was awesome. We just kind of met at the bar at the end. That's right.
But we were not drunk.
No, we weren't. We weren't bad. We always talk about at conferences. It's the seminar after the seminar, right? Where you talk to the other attendees and you see what kind of business you're doing. So we really connected. So I was glad to be able to get you on the show. For all you chiropractors out there, that we covered lots of tips. So remember about the pause.
He's doing a pause right now.
I'm doing the pause. Hold the pause. And remember to breathe diaphragmatically. And like always, don't forget to crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.